Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard Hornsby podcast. We're so glad you joined us. Given the current situation, we gather as a community on Sundays via Zoom to deepen our relationships with Jesus and each other. This podcast is a recording of the talk component of that gathering. Keen to join us on Zoom next Sunday? Simply email hornsby@northridge.org.au. Our prayer is that today you'll find God and his incredible peace.
I just have to preface before I begin that we live right on a train line, so if you hear trains going in the background, I apologize for that. I just want to start off by thanking Andrew and Jenny for the message that they gave last week. They preached on the verses that precede the passage that we're looking at today, and they did a really great job of explaining it. And they talked about how we have been raised to new life in Christ and that we should be setting our minds on things of heaven and not the things of earth, and how, you know, if we have been raised to new life, then our old lives have died with Christ. And, you know, it's clear in these preceding verses, in verses 1 to 4, that Paul wants us and the Colossians to be focused on living this new life. But first, we need to understand what the old life is.
So what does that old way look like, Drew?
Yeah, so the old ways are put in verses 5 to 9. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. And I think that whole section can be summed up as, you know, putting to death the ego, our own sense of self-importance, the I'm going to get mine at the cost of all others attitude. You know, I'm not sure I've ever met someone who is greedy for the sake of being generous. Like the two things cannot coexist. So all the things that Paul is listing here are to serve the self. And he's speaking out against the sexual ethic of Hellenism or the Roman culture of the first century, where people were living in sexual excess and sexual greed. They would have multiple partners. Men would practice pederasty, which was these elite older men having young teenage boyfriends. You know, speaking out against the worshipping of other idols in order to serve the state or the emperor. He's speaking out against greed, anger, malicious behavior, and lying. You know, all of these things serve the self. And we live in a society of the self today, like literal selfies, where people will go to these important monuments and they will put their faces in front of them as if they're the most important thing in that picture. You know, the rise of internet pornography is a similar form of sexual greed as the first century. You know, that instant gratification at the cost of all others, you know, those closest to us and those involved in the industry who are often trafficked or they're against their will. Now, I will add that there are times when it is appropriate to look out for ourselves. You know, for example, if we're in a situation where we're feeling unsafe or our lives are in danger, it's okay to look out for yourself and protect yourself. You know, it's a heart thing. It's the motivation behind what we're doing that's important.
So Paul considers our old nature to be selfish, ego-driven. Our own sense of self is more important over the others, over the importance of others. So what does the new life look like?
So the new life looks like, and I'm going to take it a bit slower through this section. So verse 10, Paul says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. And I like that Paul here doesn't claim that the change is instant. He uses the language of education. You know, be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become more like him. We are renewed by learning to know God. You know, we learn by failing. There's no shame in failing while we're learning something new. You know, I'm not a parent, but I don't think we shame children when they stumble while taking their first steps, while they're learning to walk. You know, I'm still stumbling every day with different things. And one of the things for me is, you know, growing up as a boy in the age of fast internet and the age of internet pornography, I developed quite a bad porn habit. And it was something that I always had a lot of shame over and was constantly asking God to remove from my life. And, you know, it wasn't always seeing a change. And I think that's an important point to make, that sometimes God has things in our lives that are more important for him to deal with than the things that we want to deal with right away. So I think porn might have been that thing for me. It wasn't something that God wanted to deal with right away. There were other things more important that needed to be dealt with. But, you know, I got to the point where, you know, maybe 12 months ago, you know, I literally woke up one morning and just felt this sense of, you know, I'm done with this thing. I felt like God had removed it. And it doesn't hold the same power over me as it used to. And I've experienced quite a bit of victory in that area of my life. So yeah, we fail while learning. And so verse 11, to move on. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So this new life is free from labels, both for us and the labels we put on others. So it doesn't matter if you are, insert your own label here. Christ in you and Christ in others is all that matters. You know, all of humanity are image bearers of God. Christ is your label, and he has resurrected you to new life. And one of the things in this verse that I think the translators, I guess it kind of makes it lose its meaning. The terms barbaric and uncivilized, Paul there is actually referring to two legitimate groups of people. You know, the barbarians were groups of or tribes of people living in Europe. And the Scythians is what is translated as uncivilized, were a group who were known to be very violent and vicious. And people didn't really associate with them. And they were around the Black Sea region. And so what Paul is saying here, Christ transcends all barriers and unifies people from all cultures, races, and nations. You know, there is no better than in the kingdom. There's no room for bigotry and racism and xenophobia. And it makes me think of the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son asks for his father's inheritance, and he goes and squanders it in the very things that Paul is talking about in this passage. You know, a life of sexual excess and just living not a very healthy lifestyle all around. Until finally he realizes that this life is rather empty and he wants to return home. When he returns home, his father greets him with open arms and decides to throw a big party for him. But the older brother is really upset because, you know, he's been with the father the whole time. Where's his party? We don't want to be the older brother in that story. You know, there are lots of people out there who are prodigal sons, who may be living life differently to us, but we should still celebrate when we see them, if we see them in the kingdom. And I hope that we'll be pleasantly surprised by who we see in the kingdom.
So we've seen what the old life is and what the new life is, and it will be a process and take time. We've also seen that the labels we give ourselves and we give others don't matter. It's about Christ in us. But what are we learning to do?
So verses 12 to 15 are the things that we are learning to do. So starting at verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So this whole passage, Paul is guiding us through what we are unlearning and what we are learning. So we're moving from selfishness and ego into humility and love. And having love and humility is not weak or wimpish. You know, it takes a lot of strength to forgive and to have compassion on someone who's hurt us. You know, I have a lot of hurt in my family, and there's been a lot of people in my life that in my family that I've had to forgive. And that's a really hard thing to do. But it is what we are called to do. you know, to put things more simply, we are learning to become more like Christ.
So Paul explains the characteristics of becoming more like Christ. How does that play out in our everyday lives?
Well, let me ask you a question. If the characteristics of the old self and the new self were each a different person, which one would you want to hang out with?
The new self. The new person. Self.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe you'd want to hang out with the old self, the person who's like the old self, as a mission opportunity. But what Paul's saying is that we are called to live differently. You know, that great saying, be the change you wish to see in the world. We want to be a community of people who are living an attractive lifestyle, and the characteristics of Christ are attractive. On a more practical level, we need to remember that we are learning as we go. Perfection is not what is expected. You know, verse 17 is what is expected of us. And Paul says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So what Paul's saying here is, if we're taking seriously that we are Christ's representatives, then we will be making a genuine, heartfelt attempt at becoming more Christ-like, even if we are stumbling as we go. You know, and this looks like, this making a genuine attempt to become more Christ-like looks like spending time with him. It's the things that Paul lists in verse 16. You know, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So we do this by spending time with God, spending time with others in our community, and being willing to receive wisdom and counsel, and also being willing to offer it. You know, being willing to ask someone to hold us accountable and to hold one another accountable. And finally, linking this back to what Andrew and Jenny said last week, we do none of these things for recognition of any sort or any sort of reward. You know, we do this to be attractive, to bring more people into the kingdom. You know, we are expected and we should be content with living in obscurity with Christ, because that is true humility and love. And so, just to finish things up, I'd like to offer a few questions for you to reflect on today and this week, and maybe in the breakout rooms. So the first question is, are we taking our commitment and allegiance to Christ seriously? And are we making a genuine, heartfelt attempt at becoming like him? What areas in your life are you noticing a change in? What areas in your life do you want to see a change in? And pray in expectation that you will see a change. Are we spending time with God, with others, in our community, and offering wisdom and counsel and holding one another accountable? And I'll just pray to finish up. Yeah, King Jesus, we just thank you that you have raised us to new life in you, that you are the only label that matters. We pray that you help us to see the things in our life that need to change, the things that are of the old self, and help us to learn the new ways that you have for us. You know, show us the areas in our life that we want to see a change in. And we pray in expectation that you will change those areas. You know, just pray that you strengthen us and give us wisdom to offer to ourselves and to others. And we pray that you bring people into our lives who will hold us accountable and help us to become more like you. We thank you that this is a learning process and that you don't expect perfection right away. And we thank you that we can fall back into you, and that your cross, your death on the cross and resurrection offers us grace and mercy to fall into you and to receive strength from you. We thank you that we are free of labels, and that the only label that matters is Christ in us. We just ask all these things in your name. Amen.